Hello, today is January 29th, and we're doing business and social media. And I
Jan
still have the plague.
January is gone. It was New Year's like yesterday.
Christmas is fading fast.
I am
You can
fading a little
probably
bit
tell.
fast. I don't know if I'll make it to the last episode. I wanted to give it a valiant try, though. Valiant effort.
It could be your last.
This could be the last episode you guys see me in.
Because of the coronavirus. You gonna go home, snuggle up with your bats?
No, my husband hasn't gotten sick, which is weird because he has a weak immune system.
That's another point for the coronavirus because it has an exceptionally long incubation period.
He's already got it, he just doesn't know yet.
Yeah. And he's contagious.
Great. Well, let's talk about the IRS. Everybody hates them, right? Of course you do because they take your money. Now, of course, you got to have some taxes. There's things that we need, but they might be a little bit misspent. So people are not very friendly with the IRS. But here's the thing that you might not know about the IRS. They're weakening. Their power is dimming by the day. They have less and less power, which is amazing because it seems like they've stepped up their game against the common man. Well, maybe it's because that's the only choice they have. We have two stories from ProPublica, and boy, are they in-depth.
Yeah,
And
ProPublica, wow.
they go into some very interesting things about the IRS and the tech giants.
The IRS decided to get tough against Microsoft, but Microsoft got tougher. So these are long reads. This is the first one. This talks about Microsoft and their struggles. Basically, ProPublica puts forth the case that Microsoft funneled like $35 billion, something like that, through Puerto Rico. And there was this company in Puerto Rico that made CDs that for their physical media, like their physical installation media. And they were actually going to shut down the Puerto Rican company because they could have it done cheaper in like Mexico or overseas or somewhere. But then they hired an outside accounting firm, and the outside accounting firm was like, "Wait a minute, since you already have operations in Puerto Rico, we can turn that into a tax shelter." And so the emails started to get really interesting, and when the outside firm was like, "Wait, we can't talk about it in email. We need to have some meetings, but there can be no memos, no meetings, no record of the meeting. But we need to have a meeting to discuss this." And the IRS is like, from the information that ProPublica has shared, it seems like the IRS was able to do discovery and get a lot of very, is it tax avoidance or tax evasion type stuff? But it was also, the accounting firm that was involved in all this is also a huge accounting firm. So Microsoft is not completely solely responsible for this.
So, what happened? Nothing. Actually, the IRS was further demonetized. And it seems like Microsoft went to the powers that be and said, "Hey, listen,
Microsoft lobbyists were like, we did what was allowed, and the IRS is saying no."
would you rather the country get billions of dollars in taxes or you get this duffel bag? What would make you happier? And so it does seem like, it's, and especially that's been one of Trump's things, is to go after, like, he doesn't want the IRS going after the big companies and weakening the economy, so to say. Now, you look at this and you say, well, it's kind of a one-off, and maybe Microsoft played dirty, but that doesn't really prove that we're giving these big tech companies a free ride. We can't take this one example and say that.
And ProPublica says, "Okay, cool."
And ProPublica, with another great
Great
stock
image.
photo,
I think
look at
these were drawn
that.
for this.
It's the same art style. Yeah,
Yeah, definitely the same artist.
so
And
who's afraid of the
fantastic.
IRS? Not Facebook. So Facebook, like Microsoft shenanigans, like on the surface of it, Microsoft shenanigans are unreasonable, but it seems like they're trying to move within the framework of the law in tax avoidance. Did they cross the line into tax evasion? I don't know. Facebook, on the other hand, wow. They've gotten creative with the whole tax avoidance thing. They're sinning boldly, as it were.
And this is Ireland, as we know about the Dutch-Irish sandwich.
The double Dutch-Irish sandwich.
So they're doing that same kind of thing.
The tax equivalent of the Upper Decker.
Which is interesting because the EU, when they investigated that, they came to the conclusion, it's like, no, you can't do this. But
Who would have thought?
here we are with Facebook. Now, this goes back a long way. Who knows if they'll continue to try to get away with this? Because I think, didn't all of the companies in Europe stop doing that recently?
Was this wrong? Should we not have done this?
But
We were
again,
just trying to follow the law.
billions and billions of dollars. that were squirreled away.
Yeah.
You ever read about what Scientology did to the IRS?
Oh, my God.
So the IRS went after them and said, you're not a church, pay these all these back taxes, which was more than they had. And they just went on like a campaign of guerrilla warfare where they didn't go after the IRS. They sued the IRS like several hundred times. But they went after the individual IRS agents and their families.
Wow.
And just blanketed the courts in lawsuits. Like emptied the coffers. And the IRS eventually just said, okay, fine, you're a church. Just stop.
Wow. That's terrifying to think about.
So, and Facebook has more money than Scientology.
Yeah, turns out. Yeah.
Well, we talked a lot about the coronavirus because, hey, that's what's in the news, right? I mean, how can you not?
It's in the news and it's in your Krista. News.
So, but this story is actually tech-related when it comes to coronavirus because, hey, China, that's a part of the world where a lot of the tech stuff takes place. What do you do when the whole country grounds to a halt?
Huawei postpones its developers conference over the deadly coronavirus. The event was set for February 11th and 12th in Shenzhen, but has been pushed back by the outbreak in Wuhan.
Hasn't there been several cases in Shenzhen?
Yeah,
Shenzhen. All over.
A couple now.
Yeah.
I think all the major Chinese cities have at least one at this point, right?
Yeah, we've California, Seattle, a lot of places.
No, I mean all the major Chinese cities have at least a couple.
Yeah, on the map, they've all been marked.
I think, isn't Shenzhen quarantined now? Is that one of them?
I think they maybe
Wuhan
just
Wuhan is definitely. I think Shenzhen is as well.
Yeah.
So, makes sense. Probably don't want to have a conference. Everybody getting together, shaking hands while the Black Death is among us. So, good job, Huawei. Now, Frontier was one of the companies we talked about in the last episode that did not make their quota in terms of rolling out new broadband. And this headline makes me wonder if they ever will. Will we ever get our money's worth from Frontier? No.
Frontier, an ISP in 29 states, plans to file for bankruptcy. Frontier subscribers suffer from poor customer service and failing networks. This is kind of the business MO, though. Like, when you run a media company like this and you need or want to charge customers an unreasonable amount of money more, this is just standard operating procedures. Like, you just run the business into the ground, and then it's like, we need to charge a lot more money, we need to generate a lot more revenue, blah, blah, blah. And then you put a small percentage of the extra money that you make back into the infrastructure. Everything else is profit. It's just good business. See also Kmart and Sears.
And you write off that debt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win-win. The business move here is not to actually make the service better. The better move for increasing wealth is to run the business into the ground so that you can get all the bailout help you can get. And it's not like, you know, somebody might come in and buy stuff, but hey, the people that own it are going to make a profit in that move. So if your motivations are purely profit driven, then this is a great outcome.
Not so much if you're an investor
or a customer
or literally anyone except for the owner.
Yeah.
Or a taxpayer.
Yeah.
Now, you have revealed that you did not watch Star Trek Picard. Here's my question. That is a little streaming service that no one cares about. If that had just been on regular CBS and you could have DVR'd it, would you have watched it?
Probably.
Is it the extra effort?
Yes.
So, considering that, once again, another streaming service has entered the fray, this time from NBC. And something unexpected.
Comcast is jacking up its prices again thanks to NBC's Peacock streaming service. That's the headline, but you're going to have to do some mental gymnastics to get there. In a nutshell, what's happening is NBC actually owns a pretty good chunk of Comcast. It's a majority, but I think it's like a significant majority. And so Comcast is saying, man, for us to carry all of these programs, the people that make the programs are charging us a ton of money, way more money than they used to. So we got to pass those costs on to you. But then you think about it, and it's like, wait a minute. So you're telling me that NBC is charging Comcast more money for their programs, but NBC owns Comcast? NBC owns Comcast, so they're trying to get you to stop using the cable service and start using the streaming service?
Stop thinking about it, Wendell, and just pay the fee.
Add another hoop to jump through. When you think that Peacock is ad-driven. It's free. You can get it for free.
Kill me.
So, yeah.
It's funny because cable companies used to not, like, they monetized their subscriber base. Cable companies did not make money on their customers. That for a long time, they just retransmitted what you could get over a broadcast antenna because you can't get broadcasting everywhere. And then somebody got the idea. It's like, we've got a zillion customers. We can hold our customers hostage if we charge money for access to our customers. Yes. And they're doing the same thing with broadband now, with the whole net neutrality thing. Sad.
Talked about Sonos last week, and they had their legacy devices that you could put into retirement mode. What do they call it?
Recycle mode,
yeah. And get a 30% discount. Now, it turned out that recycle mode basically bricked those devices. And then they decided that that one headline wasn't bad enough. So this week, they announced that those old legacy devices didn't have the horsepower to keep up with the new devices, and they all operate on the same network. So they were going to be excluded.
They're just going to stop working.
So if you have a new Sonos speaker, it's going to not work with an old Sonos speaker. And the whole idea of Sonos is that everything works together. Well, between the two headlines, the torches and the pitchforks came out.
Sonos CEO has apologized for the confusion and says that legacy products will work as long as possible. I don't think you realize the software overhead that is involved in playing music out of a speaker. Surely to God, Neanderthals 3 centuries ago could not have used, you know, just some wires and coils to do the same.
This guy has a huge smile on his face, but there's no light in his eyes.
Yeah, well.
So I'm not going to make as much money as I thought this year because we're not going to sell as many speakers as I thought.
I'm very disappointed in my customers. So, yeah. Now, the thing about it is the speakers will work, but they won't work flawlessly because they can't put the new software on them. So, yeah. Maybe don't buy devices that display audio or video that have software in them beyond what it takes to run the display, because it always goes bad.
You know what I did for one of my relatives that wanted to turn their home theater, which they spent a lot of money on in the 80s, into a digital home theater? I got one of those little things, like a Raspberry Pi, and I plugged it into the line in on the stereo. And it's like, ta-da, the stereo is smart now. You can play stuff from iTunes or your phone or anywhere in the house, and everything's completely fine. And it's from like 1982. And it sounds pretty good to my ear. I don't know. It's just like a $35 Raspberry Pi. And I put it, and it's like we started out as a Raspberry Pi 1.
Think of the hit to the economy, because they could have just bought a whole new stereo system and thrown that one out.
And at Christmas time, it became a Raspberry Pi 4.
I had to do a lot of searching to find an amplifier that didn't require Wi-Fi connection and didn't report back when I bought my house.
You're watching the Neo Luddite channel.
Literally every high-end amplifier reports home.
Yeah. And so they can brick it someday. It's like, oh, it's 7 years old. Oh,
well, sorry. It also, like the HDMI, DRM and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it knows what you're watching.
Yeah, it has to, because keys and stuff. At least on the Blu-ray side, those keys rotate.
So, disgusting. But, like you say, easy to overcome with some simple hardware. The problem with the Raspberry Pi is like it can't process the video, unfortunately.
It's good for audio only. But there will be more powerful Raspberry Pis in time.
Or just recycle an old computer. I mean, 4K video, if you got an old video card that's like 5-6 years old, it can probably still do 4K.
Oh, man, that would be... I got the Athlon 3000G. It's a $50 processor, but it's got hardware decode. We should throw that in the $100 Desk Mini A300 from ASRock, and then it's a tiny, sexy little... That would be perfect. We should do a video on that.
Sexy. So, speaking of things that are unnecessarily connected to the cloud and update in ways that you can't control, how about your car? But it turns out people love them. And people love, more than the cars, people love that stock.
Tesla's market cap closes above $100 billion for the first time, setting Elon Musk up for a huge payday. The rest of the article is kind of hard to take seriously because it complains about Elon Musk maybe making a lot of money if he can keep the valuation of Tesla above $100 billion because that was built into his contract.
He's going to need that money because he's got kid number, what, six, seven on the way?
It's $346 million. I'm pretty sure that if he had $1 million per kid, he would be fine.
Now, let's see, at $100 billion market cap, what would that make their price-to-earnings ratio? Oh, they're not profitable. It's negative.
He's playing the long game, except, you know, even Bezos was profitable by now, wasn't he? I mean, Bezos played the long game, too, and he was like $7 or $8 billion in debt before they started going in the black.
You think Tesla's going to come up with a data storage cloud that's in the cars?
you're literally, the cloud is literally the cars.
Well, one thing that might slow down that market cap a little bit is the unintended behavior of some of those cars that results in human death.
U.S. agency examining Tesla unintended acceleration complaint. Most of the complaints seem to be about unintended acceleration when the car is stopped or at a very slow speed. Most of them. So, the most credible ones were somebody was making a U-turn in a parking lot. And they got the software dump from the Tesla, and it said that they depressed the accelerator 50% and then like 92% when they struck a concrete telephone pole, which seems unlikely.
I mean, when you're learning to drive, there is that, like, I think everybody has that one time where you're stabbing at the brake and you get the gas instead. But you usually learn that lesson pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I doubt these are new drivers, yeah, exactly, that can afford a Tesla. But hard to say. Now, with the power of those electric motors, this is maybe a little more dangerous than if a gasoline engine was doing this.
I wonder if there's a preference that you can set in the Tesla UI to make the gas pedal not respond for like 300 milliseconds or a half a second or three quarters of a second.
That would be so dangerous. Yeah. That's a terrible idea.
Not the brake. The brake responds immediately. No, but the gas.
Any kind of lag time in the controls would, yeah, that'd be terrible.
Well, that would make it more like an internal combustion engine.
It was lag, bro.
Because like I smash the gas and the engine doesn't take off for like a half a second.
It would be better to do, like, to force a more linear curve.
Yeah, that's probably true. Okay.
I could see that being.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I doubt it, no. Because part of the, you know, the sales feature of that car is you stab that accelerator and it just takes off.
0 to 60 in 0.9 seconds.
Gotta go fast.
We'll see. They've just announced the investigation, so we're not sure exactly what happened, but the National Highway Safety people are going to look into it. Apple, if you remember, we talked about Apple had one of the really high-level guys who was working on the chips noped out and started his own company. And he's not doing desktop chips. He's doing server chips. But, still a competitor in a lot of ways. And they claim that he took some of his, you know, knowledge of the business and he shouldn't have done that. Well, we're going to find out.
Apple lawsuit tests if an employee can plan a rival startup while on the payroll. I don't think that it's fair to classify it as rival because of the whole server mobile chip thing. I mean, there is some overlapping technologies, and clearly he's using his expertise from one area in another. I hope this lawsuit doesn't succeed, not just because I don't like Apple, but I think that it sort of opens up Pandora's box. You know, like Milton in Office Space, where he's like always threatening to burn the place down? For people's own mental well-being, I think they have to be free to do that. And in this case, the guy was like, I'm going to do a startup if, you know, Apple doesn't, like, we can expand into this market and this will be great. And Apple's just like, no, we're not going to do that. It's like, all right, I'm going to leave and do my own company to do that.
They point out in that story that a lot of big chip companies were formed in that way.
Yeah.
Because people would get really good at it and they'd look at the money that was being made and they'd say to themselves, you know what? I don't think that I want to make this little amount of money anymore. I can make a lot more.
We can't allow people to have upward mobility anymore.
It's, yeah.
It really cuts out on profits. So let's just make sure there's only three or four big tech companies and then we're slaves to them forever.
Yeah, I mean, that really is what it comes to. Is like you are forever, you are only ever allowed to chase the carrot. You can never actually get the carrot.
Like the guy at Motorola that invented the wireless modem. They didn't give him a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we talked about last week, Google is going, they're getting rid of cookies and the user agent, and they're going into this whole new world of how they report things to websites to protect you. Well, Apple is a little bit affected by that, right? Or wait, is this the other way around? Is this Safari?
Yeah, so forgotten. Safari made changes for privacy, and then Google pointed out that those changes were not actually effective from a technical standpoint, and Apple got kind of snippy with them.
Oh, right. Okay, because it creates a fingerprint.
Yeah. So Google and Apple clash over web browser privacy. So Apple implemented technology in Safari to sort of learn what the ad tracking scripts were, disallow certain scripts, disallow certain kinds of cookies, and Google demonstrated to Apple that it would be super easy to fingerprint that behavior and then actually build a better way to track an individual. And so they disclosed those vulnerabilities to Apple, and you know, Apple said thanks, Google. And then in the write-up and the patches and some of the other stuff, Apple kind of snubbed Google, but they didn't really fix it. Like Google explained it, but Apple in their fix didn't really completely solve the problem. They just solved sort of one instance of the problem, but Google showed again how the general technique could be used to still fingerprint an individual, and Apple just sort of had a little weird tantrum about it.
And then last week we find out that Google's doing the same thing, but in a different way. Yeah. So also a terrible stock photo.
Who's the person in the sidebar? The blonde.
Seems like an ad.
Clickbait.
I look at that picture and the first thing I heard in my head was, wow.
Melania Griffith?
Melanie Griffith is divorcing Antonio
Banderas. Oh, Melanie Griffith. Oh, wow.
I thought it was the lady, the Meyer lady. Welcome.
She's way older than that, Krista.
But she had that same energy is exuding from that photograph, and it made me hard to read the rest of the story.
We should do a video on that kind of clickbait, because it's basically ad fraud. So like, if you want to run an ad fraud network, you create these horrible clickbait stories that you then run real ads on. So like a website like this will run these terrible ads that people click on, which are designed to show them like Google ads, and the website will make money from the Google ads, but it's ads on ads. Like that website, those ads are so terrible Google would never run them, but if somebody else runs them and you click through it, then you can run Google ads on the thing somebody clicked through to, and it doesn't matter if the headlines are real or not. It's basically fraud.
Welcome. I can't really hit the same note she does.
Well, your voice is so destroyed. But yeah, she shrieks in such a way. But the thing that really is shocking about her, of course, we're talking about somebody that, like, outside the three of us, I'm not sure anybody notices. But how many times a day do you think she does that?
She's very like, you know, I've been to Meijer. I've made more than one Meijer trip in a day before, and she's always there, and she's always yelling.
She's not usually there when I'm there.
Really?
I only encounter her when I go off schedule.
Oh, you go like the same time every week. No. I kind of go randomly when I need stuff.
Maybe it's a hidden camera TV show, and they've got close-ups of everybody's reaction when she does that, and they walk in.
I always say hi to her. It's polite. It's just she has such a crazy cadence. It's hard to cap. We're not capturing it well.
The TLDR there is there's this woman at Meijer. She's a greeter, and she's just like really loud and shrieky, and she doesn't really enunciate anything. She just sort of like like a pterodactyl greeting you at Meijer. But I don't know. It kind of makes my trip when she's there. Yeah. So, all right. Well, back to this. So we talked about more and more things getting disconnected, like Sonos. You buy a speaker. My speakers I'm using right now are from 1998. That's when I bought them. And no, I just run them with speaker wire. It's a speaker. And so you buy things, you expect them to last. You expect a speaker to last more than 10 years. But how long do you expect a scale to last? Maybe more than 4?
Smart scale goes dumb as Under Armour pulls the plug on connected tech. So Under Armour is making a pile of pricey devices into useless bricks. I guess the deal with Under Armour is like you would use the scale and it would tie in with the app and whatever. Now it just doesn't work.
Well, why would Under Armour makes like athletic clothing? Why would they make a scale? I guess so you can measure your protein.
Well, so that's the thing, Krista.
Robert, bro.
They decided to get into it wasn't just a scale. You could buy a scale, a wristband, and then a thing that went around your chest that acted like the Fitbit as well. $400
oh.
for the combo. And they were going to branch out into that world. You know, it's like, oh, hey, we're so successful at clothing. Well, guess what they weren't successful at? And so now they're like, we made a mistake. Turn those off.
We need connected cat litter boxes.
Wow.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, if you have one of those, be prepared for that to never work again. Unfortunate. But an even better story about a horrible company turning you off arbitrarily has to do with printers. Oh, my God. Because I only ever print things rarely. But when I need to print things, I need to print things right now. And can you imagine how annoying this was?
HP remotely disables customer's printer until he joins a monthly subscription. Slightly misleading headline. So when he got the printer, he joined HP's Ink as a Service thing. Because that's
Ink
the
Now.
Thing. Yeah, it's a thing you can do. So you just print. You print to your heart's content. It doesn't matter. And they mail you ink when you need it. And it's like, oh, even if you don't use the ink, if it's going to expire or whatever, they just preemptively mail you ink. So the ink cartridge that he was using was part of this subscription service. And so he noted, like, a lot of time passed, like a year or two. And he noticed this charge. Is like, that's weird. And so he turned it off, like the charge, and then the printer stopped working.
Disgusting.
Living
but
a horrible
I don't know. Did the cartridge originally come as part of the subscription? Because I think it did.
But yeah, well, that was a stupid move on his part for sure.
Yeah.
Now, they did say that that thing broadcasts a page counter. Do you think you can have like an overage fee on that plan? What if I was running a print shop?
What?
I think they just charge you more.
Do you guys listen to yourselves, though? Like, you shouldn't be charged for using your printer that you paid for.
Well, but, you know, what the point Wendell's making is this idiot signed up for this plan.
Yeah.
He agreed to it. So you can just get regular print cartridges, I presume.
I wonder if he was like you, though, where he's like, wait, I need to print this now, whatever, yes. And he just hit, like, a dialogue box that was like...
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, it's you run into this with, like, businesses. A lot of the time, a business will get a copier. And because the copier is such an amazing and complicated piece of machinery and people are always doing terrible things to it, you can just get a maintenance plan for the copier. And it's like the maintenance will cover up to a huge number of copies and the maintenance and like the stapler and the scanner and literally everything. And a lot of the time, 99% of the time, the copier will actually report its usage statistics to the person or the company that's managing the printer. So when it gets low on toner, when it gets to the last 10%, they automatically mail you a new toner cartridge. I could see the appeal in having something like that at home if you print, but this is just terrible.
I guess I don't know many people who print at home anymore.
Yeah, well, fewer than ever now.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, Krista, because you could do without your home printer. You don't. It might be annoying sometimes, but I don't have a printer at home. I mean, I have access to one here in this office. Maybe some people don't have that. You go to the library. There are things you can do to print. But some things you can't just do without in your home. I mean, you could, but boy, would it be inconvenient. One of those things, ice.
Water.
Sure, it's nice to have ice, isn't it? Keep things cold. Well, you got to subscribe.
Unauthorized charcoal. GE fridges won't dispense ice or water unless your filter authenticates as an official $55 component. The generic filters are only $19, but this is terrible.
That's how I feel reading that headline.
It's just
that
terrible.
Horrible sound that just came out of my throat. Is how it feels.
Like with aftermarket auto parts, I want to be able to go to AutoZone and get some charcoal filters.
And it is just charcoal. I mean, there's not anything amazingly technological going on inside that little tub.
I think Keurig tried to do that at one point. Where like. You can only use certain K-cups, and then people got so angry that they walked it back.
Yeah.
But they probably will eventually do it again.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it.
Yeah.
Just...
Now, I don't know if this fridge has it, but some fridges have a, quote-unquote, bypass cartridge where you can put it in, and the functions will work, but you don't get any filtering. But in that case, you can actually put a generic filter, on the water line that's going into the fridge and change that. And that also works fine.
Can I run an Alex Jones filter on that system?
Yeah, well, if you put it...
You don't want your ice to make your frogs gay.
Exactly. My cats. Even though their sexuality has been surgically removed. Well, Amazon Prime has a lot of videos on it. You know, I don't often think about the videos on Amazon Prime. I forget that exists constantly.
I use mine mostly just to watch 30 Rock and Survivor Man, but...
But, Krista, did you know that there's some really cool, weird stuff on there if you go deep enough? User-generated content.
I didn't know that was even a feature.
Well, you got to check it out. Now, this is a paywall alternative. Originally, the New York Times ran this story, and they had an interesting take on it, which is all of that selection is bad because it's weird.
The dark underbelly of Amazon Prime Video. Nearly two-thirds of the videos on Amazon streaming service are user-generated content, and lots of them are odd.
Now, you got to admit, this screenshot.
That looks totally normal.
The Recode author described this video as an acid trip. I couldn't find it, but...
Is this something I should add to my important videos list?
Go ahead and search this when you get home, Krista. Surprise eggs, learn colors, candy, baby doll, bath time.
Mm.
So I tried to play this, and it would not play for me.
I didn't know Amazon had user-generated content.
Yeah, well,
how do you submit your content?
This is Loose Change, which was the 9/11 conspiracy documentary. That's on there. Hitler in his own words, they point out, and Third Reich, Hitler's UFO. That's been on the History Channel, don't you think?
Yeah,
there's lots of History Channel stuff on there.
This one was one of the more impressive ones. This is a video about shoes having sex and having a baby shoe.
Which is originally from the 70s.
And they're cutting the umbilical lace
the
there.
The internet is a strange place.
But is there anything necessarily wrong with that? Just don't watch it.
No, you can't monetize that, and that's not allowed.
I wonder if I could make a lot of money by making a script to take all the videos on archive.org and upload them to Amazon Prime. Everything costs 10 cents.
But, the New York Times was really advocating that we don't have these options because they're weird.
It's non-monetizable.
I feel personally attacked for my opinions on shoe videos from the 70s.
That's, I was looking at YouTube the other day and I noticed all my recommended, it was all, like, magazines and companies and, like, stuff like that. So I went through and I hit do not recommend me these channels, but it took me a long time to get them out of my recommended, and it's because that stuff's easily monetizable. It's annoying.
Oh, yeah. And you can never escape the generic YouTube channel videos, because I tell it I don't want that over and over and over.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we've got we're celebrating trans week. And it's like, YouTube, I've told you time and time again.
If you tell it, don't show me a certain channel anymore, it'll eventually understand that.
But not for their
stuff?
Specific YouTube-generated stuff.
No. I found that YouTube's a little easier to watch, or like I can find things I enjoy watching once I removed all the like big company channels off of my feed, off of the recommended list.
You are definitely on a list of like YouTube dissidents.
It's like
unwanted users.
We need to get rid of her channel immediately.
Just want to say thanks to our patrons and supporters on Floatplane. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Maybe the only place left to go will be Amazon Prime. It's the last place for digital freedom, which is ironic because it's Amazon.
Yeah.
And speaking of Amazon, it seems like when it comes to their products, they use the exact same amount of discrepancy that they do with their videos in that, just sell whatever you want. It's got a Nike logo on it. We don't care.
Amazon to ramp up counterfeit reporting to law enforcement. So when we were working on the level 1 KVM, we ordered about 150 counterfeit cables. About 130 of them were counterfeit.
I feel like, I guess Amazon has more power. But I like to imagine that some Amazon rep calls like a local law enforcement agency and they're like, yeah, we'll totally get right on finding those counterfeits. And then they just hang up the phone and keep playing poker.
So it's actually worse than that. The previously, Amazon would not report them at all unless they thought they could give you a case. So if it was like, well, this is a counterfeit, but I don't really know, can't find any originator, we don't know what's going on here, just ignore it. But now every single instance they think is a counterfeit will go to whoever they think was affected by that. I think it's actually the country of origin, right?
Yeah.
Not the company.
Yeah.
So.
Amazon is a lot of junk anymore. Maybe they're trying to get rid of that reputation before it gets ahead of them.
Well, we talked about their search results last week.
Yeah.
Like, search results are really bad in certain sorts. I'm sure it's hard to wrangle all that because so many people trying to game that system. Have you seen the people who just go around and try to buy stuff cheap and drop ship it to Amazon?
No.
There's like a whole subculture. So they just, they travel the country in their RV and they go around to stores and stuff and they'll find like a really amazing deal on a product, buy everything the store has and drop ship the whole thing to Amazon and put it on their Amazon store.
Oh,
and the margins are enough that that's their job.
Wow. Surprising.
And if you find a really good deal that happens to be fake purses,
who's going to know?
The other embarrassing thing that Amazon has to keep dealing with is Ring. Because Ring is a nightmare of dystopian spying and destroying privacy. And here's something that might make you even less comfortable. Ring Ukraine. Yeah. You know that whole Russian thing that's going on in the news? Wouldn't it be weird if they had access to all the Ring videos that law enforcement do? Well...
Ring Ukraine news is suppressed at Amazon's request, journalists say. So it turns out the laws in the Ukraine are different than they are here in the U.S. and might be even more of an open door there than here.
Oh, good.
So this little company in Ukraine was like, we are one of the crown jewels of the Ukraine. We're the best. We work with Amazon. We work with Ring. We do awesome stuff. And that press release came out and Amazon called them up and they were like, what did you say? My wife reads this. And so they were just like, oh, remove all references to Amazon. No Amazon videos in Ukraine. Don't worry. We're not watching your Ring videos. But they are.
Feels good.
Remember that thing that we talked about where like the NSA can totally spy on U.S. citizens as long as it goes outside the U.S.?
Mm. Or Putin. Think Putin might have some access to that?
Oh, we're doomed.
Well, if you every time you install a new install of Windows, chances are, if you're one of those people who's just like, I don't need Microsoft Office, I don't use it that often, and then somebody sends you something in a Word document, and you're like, Word document, I got to use WordPad. Unless you're going to get, of course, you know, LibreOffice or something like that. But I rarely even install that until I have to. Until it's like, okay, fine. I have to open an Excel spreadsheet. I'll slum it with WordPad as much as possible. And now Microsoft has identified the opportunity they're in.
Microsoft is testing ads in WordPad in Windows 10. Now, it's not ads like Microsoft sells. When you open WordPad, it's like, by the way, this is not Office. You might want to open Office because... OpenOffice. WordPad is a very simple text editor. They want you to buy other things. There's like four screenshots. It says different stuff. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's just...
Oh, it's a tweet.
Yeah, so... It's like, hey, you can... Yeah, so...
It's not really readable.
It's not really news here, but it is kind of like, wow, I can't even have a simple text editor in my operating system without... trying to upsell me other things that make money. That just is frustrating.
I picture a boardroom where they're sitting around and it's like, we need more ads. And somebody says, there's not another inch of space where we can cram an ad. And he says, you're wrong. And the first one to find it for me gets a promotion. And so perhaps you do use Office 365 because you're forced to, you know, for your work or whatever. Or maybe you just like it. I'm not going to judge you. I'm judging you. But here's the thing. That Office 365 Pro Plus subscription is going to give you an awesome new program. And no, you can't opt out of it.
Microsoft to force Bing search in Chrome for Office 365 Pro Plus users.
I like this picture they picked.
I had to dig into this a little bit because this just seems insane. It's not wrong, actually. They're going to add the Bing extension to Chrome. And the reason is because Bing can search your private intranet. So like if you use Office and you use the internal stuff, then Bing can actually, and you search for something, it can return your internal documents. But it seems a little disingenuous to do it this way with Chrome. It seems like you would not want to go to your search engine and search for things and get a mix of public internet stuff along with stuff on your private intranet. That just seems disingenuous.
But also, you could do it at the installation of Office 365.
Yeah, it's like, hey, would you like to be able to search your crap?
Instead, this is a browser plugin that remains even after it makes this change. And from what we know about Cortana and the telemetry, the odds of them switching this back, if you accidentally switch back to Google or DuckDuckGo, seems high.
There's no such thing as preferences in Windows 10. It's like, I'm going to turn all this stuff off, and then you check it later, and it's like, how did this get changed?
So I'm sorry, I can't do that, Wendell.
Be back to Bing. And the thing about Bing is it's such trash. It's not even really, it's not about which one you prefer, it's which one is functional.
Bing is a kind of cherry, not a search engine.
So, unfortunate. Maybe downgrade your Pro Plus subscription to escape that. Now, they do give you...
They'll walk it back, don't worry.
Bleeping Computer has several. They have a registry key that you can download and use. They also show you how to do it a couple of various ways.
Group policy.
If you want to do that. Check out the one tab. Lenovo had an embarrassing thing happen, and it's been happening for a long time.
Yeah.
And they just now seem to be doing anything about it.
Is your ThinkPad's USB-C port not working? Upgrade its firmware. Lenovo has issued a firmware update for ThinkPad laptops made between 2017 and 2019 to fix various USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 connection issues. Now, as somebody that's been working on Thunderbolt stuff for a long time, every laptop has this problem. Macs have this problem when you're using a non-Mac operating system. Every laptop has these problems. I'm glad that Lenovo has a fix. There should be fixes coming from Dell and other people too. But
that was a paywall alternative for CNET. But the original article I read talked about how some people, the fix wasn't working and they had lost a lot of stuff because of the damages.
There's Microsoft is doing a new driver model now. It's like there's the DCH drivers. And right now, I think the legacy drivers for Thunderbolt work a hell of a lot better than the DCH drivers. And I think Intel has only tested the DCH drivers on like two of their very newest laptops, because if you try to use them in certain scenarios, it is very problematic. I mean, some scenarios work fine, but it's clear that they haven't done testing.
We've talked a lot recently about satellites. It's getting crowded up there in the sky. How many are too many? What happens when they run into each other? We have all these problems. And DirecTV this week maybe showcases just how bad it can get.
DirecTV fears explosion risk from satellite with damaged battery. So something happened with the batteries, and they're afraid to charge the batteries because they could explode. This satellite provides, I guess, backup K-band for Alaska or something. So they're going to move it to another orbit and get rid of it. Its service lifetime should have ended like 2 years ago, but they kept on using it, so it's fine. It can go gently into that
it's
good
one
night.
Of those infrastructure upgrades that they were given money for, and they're like, it's
but
fine.
Here's the thing. To decommission a satellite, you dump the fuel. And you don't, that's not something you can do quickly in a satellite. I mean, it's got a lot, I think it had like a kilogram of fuel on it. And it's very small amounts that you use. So to burn that fuel, you would plan ahead years in advance and be like, all right, let's burn the fuel. They have until the next time one of the heavenly bodies gets between the satellite and the sun, because then the batteries will kick in. They're running off pure solar panel right now. Is that you?
Wendell's van is, is it your car?
No.
No, it's someone else's. It's a very loud beeping outside.
Okay, I should probably check.
We good.
Anyway, they don't have time to do that, so they're sending it over full of fuel to do the decommission place.
It's really hard to focus with the beeping.
Why is there beeping happening?
Can you see?
The beeping stopped. Was that yours?
I didn't correspond with the button press.
Well, anyway, yeah. So
we're gonna leave that in.
Satellite. Yeah. I mean, there's no editing the news anymore. We got to get through it. It's fine.
All right, moving on. AMD. AMD is, everybody's in love with them, and they just keep cranking out new CPUs and new video cards, and each time It seems like they just take aim at a specific NVIDIA product and they say, we will do it the same, but cheaper. And this week it's the RTX 2060.
AMD Radeon RX 5600 XT review. Top-notch 1080p gaming GPU. That one's from Hot Hardware. We reviewed it too. It's a more interesting story than the initial review. So for the initial review, I got the Sapphire Pulse, which has the firmware update. And I think Sapphire maybe was one of the first ones to get the thing. And all of their cards are going to get the firmware update. What I didn't know at the time was that some people don't get the firmware update, or the firmware update was not in time in terms of manufacturing. So you may have a day one firmware upgrade to upgrade your card. And not every 5600 XT is going to perform at the level of the 2060. So it's weird. It's super weird.
Yeah, but you can fix that easily.
Well, some of the cards have slow memory. Like the AIB partners are like, oh, we can cheap out of the memory because it's not fast. And that was bad.
So buy a Sapphire. Uber has also had some bad news recently. A lot of people don't feel good about Uber for a variety of reasons. And in California, they're combating that whole gig economy thing. And this latest thing that they're doing, I don't know. I'm not sure how to feel about it. I think what's going to happen is it's going to get a lot cheaper, but you're going to have a lot of people pushed out of the system.
Uber drivers in California can now set their own fares. Why would that be a bad, you know, why that could be bad news for them and good news for customers? Following the new gig economy law in California, Uber says it's testing out a new feature that allows drivers to set their own rates.
Would there be a minimum rate?
I don't think so.
Yeah, if you want to, you know, take a loss, you totally could.
But I'm trying to think, okay, so what's going to happen is I'm going to have people who are sending their money back to Mexico. They're willing to work for almost nothing because they're going to do it for 6 months and then cycle back. But I'm going to get cheaper rides.
I was thinking, like, you'd be competing against, like, the grannies who really are just doing this job
also,
for something to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And not really for the money because they have the retirement money. And
they're willing to break even.
Yeah.
But again, you're getting a cheaper ride.
isn't that capitalism?
A lot of people are going to say, that's why we have to destroy it. Bernie 2020. He's going to get that primary election, and it's going to be crazy.
Do you think he'll get it, or do you think they'll just, like, shove him aside like they did?
They'll have to cheat him out of it. I'm not saying they can't do that. They certainly could.
They certainly did it.
I think at this point they'll have to. So we'll see.
And then he'll be found in a hotel room with shots to the back of the head. Suicide.
He's already got heart problems. They'll do it to make it look like he had a massive heart attack.
He's old enough that it'll be easy to kill him.
I hope he's got a backup plan for that. Like, I really do hope he's got a contingency thing.
He's got someone trained to, like, attack him randomly.
If nothing else, I hope that he's got, like, a pre-recorded thing. Even if it's not true at all, like, how amazing would it be if posthumously a video came out and he's like, it really is true. The Clintons have a hit squad that's available at all times. Just whatever to cause as much chaos as possible after your death. That would be amazing.
Well, you know, Gabbard sued Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about begging for the nail gun. That's a bold move. Well, speaking of Uber, they have a business in India. And it was literally Uber Eats. In India. But it seems that there was too much hot competition.
Uber Eats has sold its food delivery business in India to Zomato.
Or Zomato.
Zomato, Zomato.
That's a good name.
That's what we should call this episode. We'll forget that Monday.
So, they could not compete, and they're trying to shed their unprofitable pieces of the business because they want to become profitable, much like Tesla. They don't have earnings per share.
I don't know that Elon Musk cares about profitability.
Eventually he has to.
No, he's independently wealthy.
You think he's going to sell all his... He get those options. There's probably some rules. Like, he needs it to stay up in order to really profit from those options. So he's got to keep it going for now.
He'll land on his feet no matter what happens.
He claims in
he's
that
not
lawsuit...
not like you and me.
In that lawsuit, he claimed he didn't have a lot of cash. He's got properties and stuff, but he's invested, but he's got no cash.
Only an emerald mine.
What if the coronavirus takes down the stock market and he loses everything? And it destroys half the population and real estate spirals.
Oh, that would be bad.
Because you just bought a house.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about the world. You're thinking about yourself.
Are you going through? Update. Are you going through with the house?
Don't. I'm still waiting on one more thing.
Oh, okay. I'll say, I know you guys had the inspection, but I didn't get to hear from you Friday.
There are some things outside my control that require fixing that I'm not willing to commit to, but I feel like they'll probably fix them.
Okay.
So we talked, what's the name of that facial recognition company? Clearview. We talked about Clearview. Clearview is the company that scrapes social media to get pictures of you to tie to. So let's say that you rob a convenience store and law enforcement's like, here, we've got this security cam of this face. Clearview will go scrape social media and it's like, oh, here's the Twitter account of the person you're looking for. Well, that's bad. And it's not just bad for everybody. It's bad for Twitter because people are like, oh my God, Twitter's working with the cops. They're narcs. And Twitter's like, hey.
Yo, man, we're not narcs.
Twitter tells facial recognition app maker to stop collecting its data. So it was just crawling the internet. It's like a search engine. A very terrible, dystopian, Orwellian search engine.
I was going to say Google dystopia, but Google is Google dystopia. So...
We've reached peak inception at this point.
I love that subreddit, A Boring Dystopia, but I have to be careful how much I read it because I get depressed the more I read it.
But yeah, I don't think Google has any legal standing here. If it's public and it's on Twitter, what are you going to do? This is like that LinkedIn case. This one, I thought about dropping this, but just because it seems like nonsense. I don't use Instagram. I don't understand the difference between Instagram and Instagram TV. Do you?
So Instagram TV was supposed to be TikTok. Like, you were supposed to do these little looping 6-second whatevers. And apparently there have been factions calling for this feature to be added to Instagram forever. And
can you not do that on regular Instagram?
I don't think so.
I think it's regular Instagram, just photos.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
So Instagram drops IGTV button. Only 1% downloaded the app. TikTok saw 80 times more installs. So, yeah, this was just, you know, yeah.
That's not a good icon. Krista, does that say to you Instagram TV?
I can barely see it. It's so thin.
Of course you can't.
It makes me sad because there's so much good content.
There should be like a play button.
That's locked up on Instagram.
Or record.
I think they just got the ability to like do some stuff from the web on Instagram, but it's so disappointing because like I'll search for things and it's like, oh, there's a lot of good Instagram results. And it's like, I'm not.
They locked up everything, make you download the app.
Yeah. If you're not logged in and there's an Instagram embed, you have to click through
to
Instagram. That's infuriating.
Yeah.
Don't embed Instagram. Punish them for doing that. Go with TikTok. Go with the Chinese government.
I'm going to have a burner phone just for all the apps that I would like to try.
So we talked about moderators, right? Facebook in particular, if you are a Facebook content moderator, you see some horrible things. And we've talked about the lizards and the sexual assaults. And what were some of the other ones, Krista, that you were...
The lizards one, weren't they like torturing lizards?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the kind of horrible things you might expect.
So
from the
YouTube,
worst parts of humanity.
YouTube is not immune from that because you can upload whatever you want and it might get taken down, but somebody has to figure out what to take down. So they're being a little bit more proactive than the Facebook teams.
YouTube moderators are being forced to sign a statement acknowledging that, hey, this job, it can give you PTSD. So you can watch horrible things and you may need counseling. You may need a lifetime of medication after this. Sign here that you acknowledge that and we'll give you a job. Kind of like this news program.
We're going to have to add a...
people were kind of... I mean, it's terrible, but at the same time, like, I would rather them just tell you that up front in case you're like, oh, it'll probably just be, like, things that are tagged incorrectly or, like, someone flagged someone breastfeeding. And it's like, oh, no.
You think they're lying to that extent? Are they going full military recruiter?
No, I'm saying that some people are probably... Like, the internet has become so sanitized that they probably don't realize, like, how bad the internet actually can be. Yeah. You know what I mean? These people are so gentle, they've never heard of 4chan.
And they're like, this is a dream job for me because I always watch YouTube.
Yeah, they don't. So it's probably good that they include that because it's like, no, you're going to see the worst part of the internet.
We're going to read an amazing book someday that's like, I became a, you know, from somebody that was a content moderator and it's like, I became a content moderator, and as a result of my experiences with that company, here's why I believe that we should just stop all research into, like, curing the coronavirus or anything else that's not going to just severely reduce human population, because we're all awful and we don't deserve to live.
I've been saying
it sounds like a manifesto.
Well, Wendell, your new home is not Homeowner Association, I hope.
Nope.
And I dodged that bullet. Krista, well, it's
I'm looking to dodge it.
If because homeowners associations are terrible and they have levels of power that is absolutely shocking. And here's the thing. Just like regular government, the worst kind of human being rises to the leadership position in a homeowners association.
Yeah.
Often, perhaps I would say more psychotic, which...
How is that even possible?
You wouldn't even think, but then you see stories like this.
Gilbert Val Vista Lakes? Gilbert Val Vista Lakes.
Terrible name.
What a horrible name.
Their homeowners association has ordered residents to delete online posts, and it's perfectly legal. That's the dark future.
Is that like if you're advertising like a yard sale? Because heaven forbid.
No, it's worse than that. So they had elections for the positions, you know, for the homeowners. And the elections got kind of nasty in terms of, you know, like people throwing mud and stuff. And so the winners of the elections, more was said about them after the election. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe we elected this person. They're terrible. They're vindictive and they're evil. And in response to that, they sent out letters saying, you will delete all of these posts immediately or you'll be fined $250 a day.
Yeah.
And that got held up?
Yeah.
You agreed to it when you bought the house. You signed papers.
There was also the Homeowners Association where, like, the grandma adopted the son or something, and the Homeowners Association was like, no, your family member can't live with you.
We did the story about the one in California. They were afraid that migrants were living in the garages, so they created the rule that the garage door has to be open between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. every day. And the people were like, I'm going to get robbed. What? This is insane. They're like, no, there's people living in your garage. We'll prove it. So, don't.
Why even buy property at that point?
Well, it's hard to find a place that isn't.
At that point, I'm moving to another country. It's like, you know what? Good luck.
You know, a lot of people make that threat. When the president changes, nobody falls through with it.
Oh, I was going to say, you really, around here, it's easy enough to avoid it, but you have to move outside of city limit.
Yeah. But that's impossible in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I think around here, if they tried something like that, they would just be shot.
Like, or something
yeah,
terrible
then
would
happen
to
their pets.
Prison, or,
I mean,
yeah.
Sure, shooting people sounds like a good solution, but there's a lot of red tape.
What about just poisoning their pet?
I think the threat of that probably also makes people consider whether they should do that in the first place.
Are you advocating for an armed society?
You're slashing tires. There's lots of things you can do before you escalate the shooting.
What do we got for Friday?
Friday will be whatever we haven't done. Robots and...
nonsense.
Security and nonsense.
See you Friday.
Bye.
Those are the best buys.